I had this message for tonight about living a victorious life. And I think all of us want to live a victorious life. We want to have that victory that we have that hope for, right? You know, and that what's it mean to live a victorious life? And there's a few things that I think is required for us in order to live that life. And the first thing I want to talk about is, number one, I've got a few points. I don't normally have a point message, you know. Sometimes I do, but I've got 4 points tonight, and I think I can get through it before 9. And you know me, I'm not long-winded. You know I'm messing with you. But the first point I have is to equip yourselves for the ministry. And I want to remind everybody tonight that we all have a ministry. If God has chosen us, and He says, "I will equip you," and He, we all have this ministry, and we all have gifts, and He reminds us of this when we look in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, 11. I think that's what I've got here. He said, "So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." See, so we have these gifts, and do you know your spiritual gifts? Do you know how God has gifted you? How do you know that? Unless you seek it, right? You have to figure that out. Sometimes you have to, you have to figure these things out. And I know there's some people that are, they seem like, man, teaching is their thing. Do you get what I'm saying? You have to hunt for those gifts. And I know that sometimes we just sit back and we don't use our gifts that God has given us. I know a lot of talented people. And they just sit back and don't use what God has given them. And he asks us, he tells us here, he said, "I gave gifts." You know, I gave you these gifts, now use them. To equip what? To equip His people. It makes us better, you know, when we use our gifts. We can help each other out. Not everybody has the same gift. Now, there may be people alike with alike gifts, but within the body of Christ, we all have our things that we do. And you can tell the ones that are gifted in those areas, they're doing what God has called them to do, and they're good at it. Amen? Amen. And in Matthew chapter 25, go to Matthew 25. I think I've got that. I don't know if she's got that up there. In Matthew 25, verse 14, it talks about here in this parable, the parable of the bags of gold, or the parable of the talents. It talks about, and it says here again, "It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags of gold, and to another bag, another 1 bag, each according to his abilities." Okay? And then if we skip over, I don't want to read all this tonight. He goes through and he says, "But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled their accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought another 5 bags. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained five more. And then he goes on, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. And then it goes to verse 23. His master replied, well done again to the other. The other man with two bags of gold came back. He said he was entrusted with two, and he gained two more. And but then he comes, I'm going to skip over here to this last part. He says, in verse 26, he talks about the guy that went and hid his gold. He went and hid it. And he says, his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. So whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow, man, that's pretty strong words. It makes me think about the gifts that God has given us. He gives us these gifts to use. And what happens if we sit back and waste our gift throughout our life and don't use it for God? I'm like, man, I want to use my gift. I don't want any part of weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? Anytime it says that in the scripture, I pay attention, because Jesus, in a lot of his, in the Gospels there, you find that wording where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I think, I don't want any part of that, right? There's enough weeping and hardship here on this earth. I don't need that in eternity, right? Amen?
Amen.
You know, that's that hope, that promise that he's given us. This is that victorious life that we can live. No matter if we're dealing with stuff in our life, we are going to deal with things in our life. We're going to deal with hardships. We're going to deal with death. We're going to deal with those things. But we have hope, right? We have hope that when this life passes, we're not going to go to a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Right. Amen.
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 We're going to go to a place where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness. We're going to that place, right? Amen.
Amen.
I mean, I feel victorious already just speaking this, you know. And the number two, I will go back and say, don't waste your gift. Don't waste your gift. If you don't know what your gift is, we can figure that out. There's ways to find that. Amen.
Amen.
Pray about it. Number two, love and serve others. I think this one is probably one of the most important parts of our life. Love and serve others. And I know there's many in this church that do exactly that.
Yeah.
You know, this world, that's kind of a contradiction to this world. Because we live in a world that's self-centered. We live in a world that teaches people to be self-centered. Teaches us it's all about me and what I like and what I want. There's even songs written that way. You know, Toby Keith had a song several years back. What I like, what I think, what I want, what I do, it's all about me, right? I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm talking about me. It's all about me. And I think that's a lot of us. Sometimes we get caught up in that and not maybe so arrogant, but sometimes our life, consumed by our family, our work, and everything else in life, it seems that the whole picture, when you look at it, it's consumed with an arrow pointing right at me or right at you. Because everything that you're doing the majority of your life for yourself. Think about that. I myself get caught up with that. And it is easy. It is easy. It is easy to get caught up like that. You get to focusing on, you know, and I love my family. I have to focus on my family. James Dobson said we have to focus on our family. I knew somebody would get that. But, you know, that's important. We have to focus on each other, though. And let's look at I don't even know what scripture we're on. I didn't write it down. I believe it's John. John 15, verse 12 and 13. It says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And then he goes on to say, I love this. He said, "You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." I love that. He says, he goes on to say, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." I love that. We have to love and serve each other. And I'm glad that I have friends here in this church that are loving and kind to me, you know, and kind to my family. I mean, that's important, isn't it? But, you know, we have to serve others too. And God put us here. He chose us here to love others. You think about that. To gain friends. I mean, I consider you my friends. Jesus came here to serve. You know, like I said, this love and serve others is really contrary to this world today, because it is so focused on a self-centered life. We don't think about laying our life down for each other. We don't think about that on who gives their life for another. Who gives their life for another? That's a true friend, isn't it? Somebody who loves you very much. And I think, you know, when I was serving in the military, I think, would I have given my life for my buddies that I served with? And at one, I have no doubt that I would. I would have. I have no doubt that I would have. But, you know, we were trained to do that. We became such close friends. You know, we trained together every day and worked together every day. We become very close. And I think about us as a church. Are we willing to sacrifice our time, our lives, not necessarily our life to death, but just sacrifice our daily lives? Think about that. For each other. And I say yes. Many of us do. You know, sometimes it's not easy to take off work to go to a funeral. It's not easy to prepare the meals. It's those things are you know, necessary. But I see this church rises up and does those things because we love people. We love each other. But there's a lot of people in this world that's not like that. There's a lot of people who attend church that are not like that. Number three, living according to God's purpose. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. verse 28. I guess I need to tell you the verse, don't I? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You know, we have to live our life for His purpose. You know, and not, you know, I talked this morning a little bit about some of the dumb things that I've done in my life. And I could focus on those things, but I think, I look back and I think about all that stuff that I did and all those things that I went through in my life. And then I think about how it made me who I am today. Because I wouldn't be the guy that I am today if it wasn't for those things that I went through in my life. And even though they were bad things at times, there were some good things in my life too, a lot of good things. But those bad things in my life, God says right here that He takes all the good things and all the bad things and makes something good out of them. But all those bad things that we do, He prepares us for His purpose. Man, you think about that. We each and every one have a purpose. And we can look back and dwell on those things that happened to us in our life. And we could focus on that and say, woe is me. Or you know, blame that life. And let it restrict us from doing God's will. Or we can say, you know what? That put me where I'm at today. It made me who I am. And now I can help others. Because I'm telling you, I believe, and I've witnessed this, the best counselor for an alcoholic is a saved alcoholic. The best counselor for a drug addict is a saved drug addict. They can understand, they can connect, because they know what it was like to go through that. A veteran can go to the veteran's home and talk to another veteran like a non-veteran can't. There's just that little bit of respect there that opens the door up. Because they know you understand what they've been through. You follow what I'm getting at? I don't understand all the things that go on in life, just the things like Vernon and Larry, you know, our hearts are broken for your guys' situation, and we don't understand those things. But God takes all these things. He promises this. He promises this, that He takes all those things that we look at that are bad and all those things, and He makes them good. He's got a purpose for it. What it is, I don't know, but He's got a purpose for it. He brings us through those things. And I want to say, live your life according to His purpose. Be willing to do what He wants you to do. I have struggled sometimes with in my life of always wanting the right sign. Well, if God does this, I'll do this. Well, if He, you know, yeah, and seriously, you know, you think, well, I need a big slap upside the face in order for me to do what God wants me to do. He needs to open the door up back here, or He needs to take the roof off the church and open up a big hole and show me this is what I want you to do. But it's not always like that. He said, just read my word, live by my commands, and then I will give you everything.
Amen.
That's what He says. He never said, well, I'll take the roof off the church and show you and reach down and grab you and shake you. He never says that, right?
No.
Love and serve others. I've equipped you for the ministry. Don't waste your gifts. Live according to His purpose. And last but not least, I've got two number threes here, I don't know why. Number four is manage your time. I think this is one of the ones that I struggle with the most, is managing my time. I have so much going on in my life. I have work, and I have the church, and I have my family. And I try to throw some personal time in there. It's hard. And I tell you, I have failed a lot of times to manage my time properly. I really have. When I look back and love and serve others, it makes me think about my family. Have I really loved and served my family as much as I should have? Man, come on. This world today, they don't want to hear that. Just like the brother was talking. My wife and I have been married 29 years. Have I been the husband that she wanted? Don't answer that, Lee.
No, it has.
That's a rhetorical question. But I'm serious, though. Really, have I been the person? Have I been loving and caring? Have I been that person that served my wife as I should have? Man, that really hit me. I think about things. Am I serving my Lord and Savior like I should?
Amen.
And it really comes down to that self-centered life and time management. Because I have wasted so much time doing worthless stuff. Maybe it was good, maybe it was fun, just like going out to the golf course and playing golf. That's fun, and that's not bad to do every now and then, but you can let it consume your life. Because you can try to be the best golfer there is, and I don't care how hard you work at it, I'll never be a professional golfer. Ever. I tried. Not very long, though, because I figured out pretty quick it wasn't going to work. There's a lot. You get my point. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's get to the scripture here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says this. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. He goes in to say, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs with the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
What he's saying is, don't waste your time. Be very careful what you do with your time. Take every opportunity to serve the Lord. Take every opportunity to talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors about Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time on foolish things. Because we can get caught up in that really easy. Sometimes we get in a habit of not doing things. And I know taking care of our family is important. It is. It is important. But don't let it consume your life. Don't let work consume your life. Because we have a higher purpose. We do. We have a purpose, and that's to serve the Lord. How we manage our time is tough, isn't it? It is. It's really tough. But no matter what we do in our life, whatever your job is, just don't let it consume your life. I want to always give thanks. I love this. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything. For everything. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. I hope that I spoke what you wanted me to say tonight. Lord, I praise you. Lord, again, I just ask for you to be with us. Guide and direct us in everything that we do. Let us be good servants of yours. Lord, let us be your friend. You call us friends. Lord, I'm so glad you're my friend. Thank you again, Lord, for everything that you've given me. Let me not be foolish. Let me take care of what you've given me and multiply it. So when I stand before you, you can say, "Welcome, good and faithful servant." I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.